Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believers attend church to meet God and further extend His glory. We gather to express to God His worth to us. That's what the word worship is all about. Today, message number 2 in a 9-part series on the glory of God. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Erwin Lutzer comes now with message number 2, God's Glory in Our Church.
Well, many years ago, I told you the story of the Tater family. You know, various families come to Moody Church and comes to churches all throughout the United States of America. But among all the families, I suppose, the Tater families are the most interesting. The father's name was Dick. Dick Tater was the kind of guy you'd like to have for a neighbor. But yet at the same time, when you worked with him, you discovered that it was his way or the highway. He always needed to get in the last word, and he always expected that you would go along with what he had to say. Not very surprisingly, because opposites attract, Dick Tater married a woman whose name was Hezzy. Hezzy Tater was the kind of woman who, again, got involved in ministry within the church. The problem was she could never make up her mind about anything. She was always deferring to her husband. Now, Hezzy was that way, but I remember more clearly their daughter. Her name was Emma. Emma Tater used to dress like everybody else used to dress. She was very subject to peer pressure. She always waited for other people to make the decisions so that she could copy them. But the one that gave us the most trouble was the son, Aggie. Aggie was a real piece of work, I have to tell you. Agitator would do everything that he possibly could to divide people, to make life difficult. He was not your model Sunday school boy. As a pastor, you know, you try to figure things out and you try to understand why this family is the way it is. And I never could understand it until I met Dick's father. Dick's father used to come in late, and he would always sit along the balcony. He'd come a little late and have the option of leaving early. His name was Speck. Spectator was never involved. He was the kind of person who criticized what was happening and would always go to church hoping that he'd get something out of it. But he never cared whether he put anything into it. Well, that's the Tater family. Well, let me ask you a question today. Why do you come to church? Why are you here and not somewhere else? I suppose that there are really 3 good reasons. One is a personal reason. You come here because you have needs, because you know that it is here that God speaks to us and He demolishes our idols and He puts us into a different time frame, so to speak. We leave aside all of the pressures of the world and we come here to concentrate on God, to sing together. And we leave refreshed and encouraged. There are personal reasons for coming to church. Another reason is the corporate reason. We come because we are members of the same family. We are not united by common interests. Oh no, common interests do not hold us together. We are not a political party. It is not a matter of all the people being interested in the same hobbies. That's not what holds us together. What holds us together is that we have a common life. We are brothers and sisters. We have the same father. And therefore, we come sharing that life and finding out how we can better live and better serve the Lord. But the third reason to come to church, which lies actually at the bottom of all the reasons, is the divine reason. We come here to meet God because, as we are going to be learning in this series of messages, nothing else matters except His glory. As we learned last time, we don't have to get even with anyone. We don't have to prove ourselves to anyone. All that we need to do is to submit and to die to self and to say, God's glory is all that matters. I hope that you are doing what I've been doing for several months. Before I get out of bed in the morning, as I am there thinking about the day and what I have to do, before I have the energy to roll out of bed, I pray and say, oh God, today glorify yourself at my expense. I want to live only for the glory of God. Imagine what that's like to reduce stress, to put off the pressure, because now it's not a matter of trying to impress people. It's just simply the question of what is it that glorifies God? And that is all that matters. So what is God doing in church? What is God doing at the Moody Church? Why come to church? What are we trying to do? And what is God trying to do? In order to find an answer to those questions, I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 in the continuing saga of the glory of God. I'm going to pick up Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That's what God is doing in his church. That's what he is doing at the Moody Church. Let me give you three features of the building. God is in the building business. And what are those three features very clearly seen in the text? The first is the foundation. Paul refers to the apostles and the prophets. Now, that doesn't mean that they are the only foundation. They helped get the church started. But Jesus Christ, we just read, is the chief cornerstone. Our problem is that in our culture, a cornerstone means nothing. You can go out these doors and you can walk down the stairs outside and you can see there the cornerstone that was laid in 1925. But in those days, the cornerstone was a huge stone that was quarried at right angles. So you would have all of this wall that was built upon this side of the cornerstone, and then the cornerstone would go over, and the other wall also at right angles was built on the cornerstone. So it really was critical for the whole building. It was what gave the building its start and certainly its foundation. The cornerstone determined the size of the building, how big it would be. Rebecca and I have lived in Chicago so many years that, can you believe it, when the Standard Oil building was built here, I actually still saw it when it was just the foundation, because a friend of mine worked for Standard Oil and he took me there and showed it to me. It was a deep foundation, and you could just see before the structure was built how big the building was going to be. And in the very same way, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and he determines the size of the building. Now, some people would like to keep the building small. If we took the time to read the rest of the second chapter of Ephesians, we discover that there were those who said, let's keep it for the Gentiles. Let's keep the building for people like us. But Jesus is saying here that he brings together Jew and Gentile. And we here at the Moody Church want to have a broad representation, because we believe that this foundation is broad and goes to every single country of the world. Years ago, we adopted a promise statement that Moody Church is a trusted place where anyone can connect with God and others, and we are serious about the anyone. A few years ago, when we took a survey, we discovered that we have people here from more than 50 countries of origin. We believe that Moody Church should look like heaven, where there are people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, because we believe that God has a broad foundation that includes many, many people from diverse backgrounds and ethnicities and countries of origin. So the foundation really determines, you know, the size of the building. It also determines the strength of the building. We believe that a church that is based on the Word of God is a church that is strong, that is doctrinally driven. And as a result of that, we think that the foundation should go deep, deep, deep into God's Word. Now, one thing about a foundation is that it isn't seen. It's true that I saw where the foundation was going to be for the Standard Oil building, but when you see that big building today, you don't see the foundation, but you know that it is there. In the very same way, people do not see Jesus Christ today. In fact, we do not physically see him. But people ought to know that he's there because our faith goes down to the bedrock. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I hope that as you listened, you realize how important the church is to God. Today we find many people who say, well, you know, I'm into religion, but I'm not into organized religion. Or Jesus and me, we walk together. I'm connected with him, but I have nothing to do with the church. The New Testament knows nothing of that kind of Christianity, because Christianity is to be done in community. And in the early church, what you notice is two different reactions that the people around them had. One reaction was fear, because they knew that God was working mightily. And this fear oftentimes is generated even today when there are people outside the church who experience conviction and who know that if they came to church, their sin would even weigh more heavily upon them. But there was another response, and that is that people wanted to respond to the church because of its love. The church has to have both attributes. On the one hand, because of our love, people are attracted. But because of our holiness, people also know that we are different and that we expect them to come to Jesus Christ to deal with the issue of their sin. Now I have an assignment for you before I conclude today. What about in your church? Whom can you encourage? Possibly you don't like the music, or there may be something else going on there that somehow interrupts your worship. Can you this coming Sunday set all that aside and say, to the glory of God, I am here to worship, not to criticize, not to judge, but if I am with God's people, I will seek the Lord among them. And you will find him. Thanks so much for joining us for this series of messages titled, Nothing Else Matters Except the Glory of God. And it is true that nothing else matters except the glory of God in our church. Stay tuned, because in a moment you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. God bless you, and I hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer has begun God's Glory in Our Church, the second message in a 9-part series on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time, more about good foundations. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.